December the 30th in the Proverbs. For those that are you guys that are new to the church, God has given us a Bible reading plan, and that is the book of Proverbs, and it's pure wisdom. A proverb is a concealed message. It's a giant message from God concealed and compacted in a little tiny verse. And there's so much in there, and it was called a secret in the Old Testament. It's called a mystery in the New Testament. We're supposed to read it, and we're supposed to try to receive from it what God has for us. We have one verse I want to look at tonight that God has just laid on my heart today for this last message of 2015, and I think it's very, very wise that God put this. I shouldn't say that. Everything God does is wise. Amen. But look with me in Proverbs 30, verse 5. Are you there? Look what it says. Every word of God is pure. I want you to repeat that with me. You ready? Every word of God is pure. Get that through your minds today, tonight, and forever. Because this is what it's all about. Every word of God is pure. He, meaning God, is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. One more time. Every word of God is pure. You don't have to worry about, is this pure, is that pure? I just want to start preaching for a second, but I'll get right back on my message. Just give me 15-20 seconds. All right, maybe a minute and 15. This blessed, holy, unbelievable thing that God has given us to hold in my hand is the exact inspired voice of the Almighty Creator. He has given us his exact word, which not only created the heaven and the earth, created you and me, but did absolutely everything with all power, and it's right in here in my hand in a book. We have it better than any of them had it because they had to just hear it. Now we get to see it. We get to read it. We get to memorize it. And guess what? When you forget it, we can go back and say, oh, yeah, that's what he said. And God said here that every single word that God says is pure. Every word. The second part is that it says, and he, God, is a shield. A shield. He is the shield to them that put their trust in him. Meaning the same thing, the word of God. Put your trust in him. Put your trust in it. I mean all your trust. Ed, turn me down, please. I don't need a microphone, so just turn me down. But the word of God is everything. Bob, I appreciated your prayer because as you said, we all need that prayer. I want to read more. I want to understand more. I need the word of God. The word of God is God. The word of God is Jesus Christ. The word of God is God. And the more God you get into you, the more of like God you become. And that's the problem with all of us is we don't read the Bible enough. And when we read it, there's a problem with it because we don't read it with the faith needed for it to engraft itself in us and we become one with it. One of my prayers every single day is, God, that I'd be one with your word, that your word and me would be one and you'd live in me, your word. The single most important thing we need is faith. The single most important thing we need, not only tonight, but for all eternity, is faith. We need faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's word. That's why he said every single word is pure. That's what I want you to think about tonight is purity. Pure. When God was giving me this message, I was like thinking, man, I want to be pure. Before I got saved, I never met anything pure. I didn't know anything pure. Every person I knew was not pure. Every child I knew was not pure. They were all rebellious teenagers. I didn't know what purity was until after I got saved and started coming to church and started seeing some teenagers and some young people that were like no other teenagers or young people I ever met. And they actually loved Jesus. And they listened to their parents. And they sang in church. And for the first time in my life, I started to see purity. And then I started meeting a few people here and there that I saw the heart of that people. The hearts of those people were pure. They loved out of a pure heart, and they loved God. And that purity changed. I want to be pure. I want my heart to be pure. I want my heart to be pure. I want my mind to be pure. I want my mind. How many, and don't answer. I'm just going to say it. Our minds are filthy. All of us. I don't know about the women's minds. I just know my mind's filthy. You know why? Because this world's filthy and it gets into my mind. You ever been praying, all of a sudden something's just unpure or unclean? I'm not talking about what you might think is unclean, impure. Think what God says is unclean or impure. The slightest little bit of absolute, the slightest little bit of a fib or a lie is unclean and impure in the eyes of God. We look at it as, well, it was just a little thing. It was a little thing. Not in the eyes of God. In God, every little thing is like the most greatest abomination you could ever imagine. And here, my mind is not pure, but I want my mind to be pure. My heart is not pure. Neither is any heart, any man, the heart of man is not pure. Is it, Dave? But I want it to be. I want my heart to be pure. I want my mind to be pure. I would love that if I could just see what it was like to live for 6 months with a pure heart and a pure mind. Because the Bible talks about a pure conscience. Having your conscience pure. And I think about this, you know what happens to us is that we have an unclean or impure heart. We have impure mind, and therefore our consciences are guilty. And we walk around, we might not tell it, we might not say it, but we always have a guilty conscience. Isn't it true? Because we always know that I should be doing more, or I should be this, or I should. And don't we, Donna, we have guilty consciences. And this is Saint Donna. I mean, she's as holy and as pure as a driven snow. And yet she's got a bad conscience all the time. It's true, don't you? I know, me too. You know why? Because the closer you get to God, the more you see the dirt on yourself. And the more you see, oh my goodness, what did Isaiah say when he stood before the Lord? He said, I am a man of unclean lips. And he was the most holiest man in the world at the time. And he said, he trembled. He got, I'm a man of unclean lips. That means he said something that was unclean. All right, I'm done preaching. Let me get to the message. You get done. This is the most important thing. The important thing is faith. Faith in the word of God. And he, listen to what it says. Every word of God is pure. So how many words of God are pure? How many? Every single one. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every single word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, he wouldn't tell us that it proceeds out of the mouth of God. What we have in our authorized King James Bible is the most wonderful gift given to man, the pure words of God. And the devil hates it. Hates it. Why do you think the next verse is God is a shield to them that put their trust in him? What's it say in Ephesians chapter 6:16? It says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Why? That you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. Amen? You see, faith in God's word, when you put your trust in it and your faith in it, God becomes the shield. And I tell you right now, no fiery darts getting through God. Nothing's getting through God. You ask for protection. You know the greatest protection in the world you have is the Almighty God. I don't fear a thing of the devil when I'm walking right with God, when my conscience is right with God, when my heart is right with God, when my mind is right with God. And when I don't, as long as I got God with me, I don't fear anything the devil can throw at me. I don't fear at all because I remember my brother. I've told this story many times. I had a brother who's 4 years older than me. And when you're, you know, a little kid, 4 years is a lot. You know what I mean? When you're 12, you know, 16's a lot. You know, so you know when the crazy dudes would be walking by or some bad dudes and this and that. You know, they'd see you on the corner. They might beat you up or whatever. You know, but when I had my brother, I was like, "Where are you at now, huh?" Seriously, come on out now, guys, because my brother's here. You know what I mean? Like when your big brother's with you, Rich, you know? It's like you're not afraid. And that's how I feel when I got God, when I know that I'm right with God, I'm not afraid at all. There's no fear at all. The devil, you know why? Because God is my shield. The problem is the devil tries his utmost best is to take your faith away from the word of God. Because the more that he can get you to doubt in any area of the Bible, that doubt starts diminishing your faith. And when your faith starts diminishing, the shield gets compromised. And the shield isn't as thick, and the shield isn't as powerful, and some of those fiery darts start to get through. And that's why he said, he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. I'm here to tell you how many people could have 100% faith in God. I want to hear it. I want to hear you tonight. How many people have faith in him alone? Come on, I want to hear you. I can't hear you.
Amen,
amen, Keith, because real faith makes you powerful. It makes you stand up and not be afraid, amen, because you got faith, amen. Everyone I talk to has faith in God, but that isn't what God said. He said every word of God is pure. And the devil, and this message isn't about this, but it always comes around to this, is a liar, he's a counterfeit, he's a deceiver. He doesn't care that you have a Bible. He doesn't want you to 100% have faith in it. He uses the Bible. He doesn't care if you read your NIVs and your ASVs and your QRVs and your New Living Translations and your Jerusalem Bibles and all the 200 pathetic versions that are out there, because everyone that uses those Bibles don't really believe that it's 100% the Word of God, the pure Word of God, or they don't believe it anyway. You know why? Because they're taught that. But true Bible-believing Christians know what it is they have in their hand. I know what I have. I studied it out. For 2 solid years, I devoted my whole life to just studying, is the King James Bible the actual Word of God? And I believed it, and I know it. And you don't listen to me. Whatever you do, don't listen to guys on radio, on TV, or professors, or anyone in any Bible colleges, because that's where the devil goes. And if he can just plant one seed of doubt that what you have in your hand is not in some way the exact, because if it's not pure, it's impure. Think about it. If it's not pure, it's impure. And if you got something that even a little doubt that you think, well, you know, it's old, you know, it's old English, and it's this, and a better translation is this. And then, well, if you got a better translation, then you probably get a better translation than that translation. And then you might get a better. Next thing you know, you got Ebonics Bibles. You know, just talking like, yo, what's up, man? You know, it's like, huh? I want to talk like the... No, God doesn't talk like that. God talks like this. God talks like this. And I don't want God to thumb himself down to me. I want to build myself up to him. And that's why he says every word of God is pure. He's a shield to them to put their trust in him. And as Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Think about that. Ready to quote it with me? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. And I think, I'm not pure in heart, but I want to be. I'm not pure in heart, but you know what? I can imagine. Come here, Freckles. Come here, both of you. Yeah, come here. Come here. You too. Come here. Come over here, sweetheart. Come here. Come here. This one right here. Come here. Come over here. Come here, guys. Come up here. Any other little ones? Come here, guys. You, get over here. Especially you. Come here. Alex, you can't come. I'm joking. Come here, Alex. Come on up. Turn around. Look at them, guys. Come here. Jesus said this. Said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Why? They're kids. Because such is the kingdom of God. What do you mean? He said, their hearts haven't been tainted. Yes. Yes, you should. Oh, him? Well, it's okay. I'm just giving an illustration. But look at these children. Look at these children. You know the devil's trying to pollute them? The devil's trying to tell them lies? The devil's trying to put anger in their hearts. The devil's trying to put deceit in their hearts. The devil's trying to put lies in their hearts. The devil's trying to take faith away from them. They don't want to have, the devil doesn't want these children to have faith. But right now, you tell a child, you get a little 4-year-old, and you tell them Santa Claus is coming down the chimney, and they get so excited. Do you know what I mean? But then you tell them there's a devil out there. I don't believe that. My mom and dad doesn't. They don't believe that. You tell them there's a devil out there who wants to destroy them. Yeah. Right. See, the thing is, I look at these children, I see pure in heart. Look at the face. I see pure in heart. And I'll tell you right now, I wish I had a heart like these children. You can go sit down. Thank you very much for coming up. But I'm telling you, I wish I had the purity that these children have. But my heart's been around too long. My heart's been drugged behind the truck. My heart's been rung through the ringer. My heart, I have to try with my whole heart to try to keep my heart pure. You know what I'm saying? Because even if you get your heart pure for like, say, an hour or two, how fast does it get impure? Come on, man. Someone get a witness around here. You know how fast it is to get anger and deceit, and how it is to get betrayal, and how it is to get all the things that you get inside your heart. Bitterness creeps in, and, you know, unforgiveness creeps in, and your heart it's a breeding ground of, you ever get under those little green lights that shows all the bacteria? Can imagine what our hearts look like. Yeah. But he says, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God. You asked for prayer that you would have discernment. Now you get discernment, I'm going to see God. This is where we see God, people. Please listen to me. Listen. Read to your children. Take your Bibles out and read to them. You say, well, they won't understand it. More than you will. They'll remember it too. You give them a little song right now, 60 years later, they'll be singing that same song. We do it all the time from TV shows, don't we? Gilligan's Island, we can ring every word. We can sing every word. You start getting little Bible songs in them, little Bible scriptures in them. Trust me, it'll change their life. The Bible is very, very powerful. It says this in 2 Peter 3:1. It says, beloved, I now write unto you. The reason he's saying is because I'm writing unto you. He says, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. And I want my mind to be pure. I want to keep it pure. I don't want it just to be pure for 10 minutes. It says that you may be mindful of the words here which were spoken by before the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. What he's saying is, I want to bring you back to remember what the Bible said. I want to bring you back to what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, I'm pure. I am God. You cannot take whatever comes out of God continues to be God. That's why Jesus said, I have come out from him. Me and him are equal. Jesus came out of God. He was as much God as God is God. The Word of God came out of God. It's as much God as God is God. You want to get your heart pure, you got to get the pure Word of God in it. You want to get your mind pure, you got to get the Word. What's it say? Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Renew it. How? By the Word of God. By the washing and cleansing. By the Word. You got to get the Word in. And as Christians, the devil doesn't want you. First of all, he's going to try to make you so busy, Keith, because that you don't have time to read it. Anybody like that? Come on, I'm hearing amen. I'm the pastor of the church. I don't have time to read it. I read it, but I always feel like I have to cram it in. You know what I mean? Just when you sit down, you got to get my cup of coffee, you know, you're like, and then 500 things will come. Oh, I got to do this. Got to call that person. Got to go over here. I got to pay that bill. You know what I mean? It's like, I thought my job was to sit around and read and study. I wished. I'm serious. It's like, so times it by a million, you guys. It's so hard, isn't it? You're retired, and yet you're probably busier than you ever been. Amen. I know you are. And I just want to say, you want a pure mind? How many people want a pure mind? Get the pure Word of God in it. You want a pure heart? How many people want a pure heart? Get the pure Word of God in it. And you want a pure conscience? You know how you get a pure conscience? By getting the pure Word of God in your heart and in your mind and then obeying it. Problem is, people get the pure Word of God and they know what it says and they don't do what it says, and they walk around with the pure Word of God in their heart, the pure Word of God in their mind, but they don't do it and they feel not pure. A good conscience is a great thing. It's a great thing to know that I've done everything I could. Apostle Paul said, with a clean conscience, with a pure conscience, my hands are clean. Because I give the Word of God to everyone I met. There's not one person that I met that I didn't give the Word of God to. You know what I mean? That's Apostle Paul said, because I ain't getting in front of him. I'm not going to stand in front of him one day and he's going to go, Paul, remember I told you? Yeah, I know, Lord. Guilt stinks. I hate guilt. Guilt stinks, doesn't it? Come on. But we're all guilty, all of us. And we're all guilty of being guilty. And the reason we're guilty is because our minds are not pure. Our hearts are not pure. But this, so this means, what it means, how do we get it pure? We got to get this word into us. And listen to me, please listen to me. The devil will put doubt in your mind. Doubt, like right now, I don't know everyone out here. I don't know what you guys believe. All I'm telling you is what the word of God says, that it's alive. This book is alive, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing. See, Ed, that's why you said, I want to change. God revealed things to me. Because the sword, the piercing, it hurts. It comes in and shows you where you're wrong, shows you what you're thinking is wrong, shows you how you're acting is wrong, shows you that we're wrong, and we're all wrong. We're all guilty. Why? Because we're not pure. Let me continue on, please. 2 Timothy, don't turn there. I'll tell you where to turn when I do. 2 Timothy 1:3 says this, with a pure conscience. He serves God. Hebrews 10:22 says this. Listen to this, please. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. This book is amazing. Ephesians 5:26, it says that he might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word of God. And if you can get one, the devil can get one doubt in you. Let me tell you what separates me and hopefully you from the rest of Christendom. Because I've been to Bible colleges. And the first, I went to get my degree at Philadelphia College of Bible at night because I wanted a degree, and I had, I was in my 30s and I have 7 children and 15 guys working for me, so I couldn't go off to college. So I went at night, every night, 4 hours. And over there in the Philadelphia College of Bible, I just went to get a degree. And what they tried to do is teach me you couldn't have a Bible. They tried to teach me you cannot have the pure word of God because all it is a copy. It's a copy of a copy, so there's errors and mistakes, so it doesn't matter. This is what they were teaching people that's going to be pastors. And that is just a little slice of the pie. It's like that 99.9% everywhere, because the devil knows if he can just put a little bit of doubt in the pure word of God, guess what he does? He takes your faith from it, and God can't be your shield. What happened to Jesus Christ, God incarnate flesh, when he went home to Nazareth? And he started to do a miracle or two, and they all started saying, isn't he Joseph's son, the carpenter? Didn't he grow up here? And it says that he could not do hardly anything because of their unbelief. The devil knows how to get you, because if you're walking with God and your conscience is right with God and you got a pure word of God, God's your shield. Nothing's getting through. That's why he tells you, he says, put on the whole armor of God. But he says, but above all, grab the shield of faith, because it is only by faith that's going to get you through. You don't have to know this and know that. All you got to do is believe that God's word is absolutely what it says it is. It's perfect and it's pure. And it's so pure that if it gets in you, it'll start to make you pure. And that's what it does. It starts to make us pure. I truly want to have a pure heart. How many people are with me tonight? I truly want a pure mind, and I certainly would love to have a pure conscience. That would be nice. That'd be nice, but we need to have faith in our King James Bible. Why do I say King James Bible? Because this is the Bible that God ordained. God did this. He did it with a king. It says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, whithersoever he turneth it, like the rivers of water, he does it. He turned the heart of a king, and he got 72 men, greatest minds in the world, and he brought them all together to get in English, our own language. This is the gift of tongues right here. We get to hear God's word in our own language. You can say, yeah, but my kids, I let them read this Bible and I let them read that Bible. You go right ahead, but it's not pure. Because man has his hand in it. Man has changed it. Man, every single year, comes out with a new version. And every single year, they keep saying, well, we're going to make it better. Really? Well, then it wasn't pure to begin with. It's so important. Turn with me, please, to Titus chapter 1. Titus, New Testament. You see, find Timothy. As soon as you see Timothy, go 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and you'll run right into Titus. You got to see this verse, because this is what it's all about right here. Titus chapter 1, are you there? I know a lot of you are a little slow, and that's okay. Just remember to go back and look at it. But look with me, please, in verse 15. Titus 1:15 says this, unto the pure all things are pure. But, unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being an abominable, yes, and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. You're thinking, well, that's not people. If you don't believe God's word, what you call God is God a liar. You know what the worst thing you could ever do is not go out and murder someone. It's not go out and steal. It's called God a liar. Because when you call God a liar, you're doing exactly what the devil's telling you to do. You are literally attacking God and his character of who he is. God who cannot lie. Cannot lie. He cannot lie. And if God is not able, if he's not able to give us his word in our hand like he promised, then he's not God at all. And it is amazing. Philippians chapter 4. Don't turn there. This is what it says. It says that whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise, think on these things. Amen. You see, what should we think on? Should we have more faith or less faith? Come on, I'm here from you so I can go home. Ready? Should we have more faith or less faith or stay the same? Which one? Much more. I'm not talking a little bit more, Keith. We need much more faith, because that's the problem, is our faith has been taken away from us because I don't see God healing people anymore. So in all reality, back in the recesses of my mind, I don't believe it until I see it. I'm like Thomas. I become Thomas. Yeah, I know he can do it, but I won't believe it until I see it. All of a sudden, I become Downing Thomas, and I'm like the person of most faith I know, but because I don't see it. You know why I don't see it? Because people don't believe it anymore. I've seen one bona fide, true, 100% healing in my entire life so far, in my entire 25 years or whatever it's been since I've been saved. It's rare, isn't it? Yes. See, I don't believe one iota in these faith healers because they're a bunch of crooks. They just want your money. That's why they have $10 million mansions, why people in their church have nothing, can't eat. They have airplanes. Don't send your money to them. They're crooks. Their hearts are not pure. Eat and drink, they say to you, but their heart is not with you, the Bible says. If your heart is with you, you'll know it when someone's pure. Because it's never about them. It's always about someone else or you. Let me finish up. This verse is so powerful, so important, because we need to renew our minds by faith and trust in God's word. Our Bible that we have, our King James Bible, you can put your trust in it. Please listen to me. You can put your, I don't care what they said on the radio. I don't care. And what I care about, I care what God said. And God said, my word is pure, very pure. In Matthew 4:4, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. That word proceedeth means continuation, means coming out of. He's a shield unto them that put their faith, their trust in him. I want to know how many people are true, honest to goodness, real bona fide Bible believers, and not just believing what they are taught. Truly believe with all your heart. It changed my Christian life. I always used the King James, but I just thought it was because my church did and because it was the best translation. It wasn't until 2 years I studied the Word of God for 2 years, and I don't have the time for that, maybe another time. But everywhere this book went, transformation happened. Everywhere this book went, revival happened. Everywhere this book went, things happened. Countries, nations rose. And then as soon as they started going to other versions, it all went down the toilets. Morality went down. You know why? Because a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. And all the devil wants you to do is not believe. Just have a little bit of doubt is all you need. And what that does, that shield, God is your shield. All of a sudden, the faith that you have, that God is able to do what he abundantly and above that, all that he said, all of a sudden isn't anymore. Let me hurry up and finish this. The devil wants us to doubt. Someone say amen to that. Amen. Because doubt does weaken your faith, which weakens your shield, whereby the fiery darts are not quenched. That's why we have so much problems in our lives, because of lack of faith. Lack of faith. Fiery darts, and it's a whole other Bible study for you students, the fiery darts equal them to the fiery serpents. As the children of Israel going through the wilderness and fiery serpents came and bit them. Yes. You know what it was? It was doubt. They were doubting God, who they were following. They were doubting God's word, who said, I'm bringing you to the land, the promised land, a land of milk and honey. You know what they said? No, we don't believe it. Let's go back to Egypt. I want a pure heart, and I need a pure mind, and I desire a pure conscience. A pure heart must have God's pure word in it, amen? A pure mind must read it and believe that God's word is pure, and a pure conscience must believe it and obey it. Let me just read these verses to you and we'll finish. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, Tatiana, if you'd come on up and just get ready. In about 2 minutes, we're going to have a little time of invitation. Psalm, and there's plenty more verses. I tried to keep it as quick as I could, and you know how it gets. Psalm chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 6 says this, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. You've got to purify the word of God in your heart, meaning you've got to try it. You got to make sure that you know. Psalm 18:26 says, with the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. But with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4 says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Know what it says? He that has a clean hand and a pure heart. Psalm 119, 140, I love this verse, says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I love the word of God. I want you to love the word of God. God wants you to love the word of God. I mean a love. You know why? David had, inspired by the Holy Ghost inside of him, Beth, said, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. He never had a doubt in his mind. Is this the exact word of God? Of course he knew it was. Here it says in Proverbs 22:11, it says, he that loveth pureness of heart, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. He that loveth pureness of heart. How many people in this room honestly can say, I love to have a pure heart? It doesn't happen by accident. It can never happen by accident. Think about it, Andre, how wicked your heart is. Think about everything you hear at work. The Bible says, my eye affects my heart. Our ears affect our heart. That's why I will preach what the Word of God says till I die. You cannot live in both worlds. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. It's impossible. You either have to be all in or you're not in at all. Because the truth of the matter is, you cannot be a bona fide Christian, so to speak. You cannot have your heart right with God or pure with God while you're listening to rap, jazz, country, rock and roll. It's impossible. It's impossible. Because that stuff is of the devil, and it's meant to get in your heart. As soon as you start, all of a sudden something's in your heart other than God's music. How about movies, and how about fashion? And how about, it gets in your heart. It gets in your heart. And it's impossible to have a pure heart. You know what God says? That women and men should both dress alike, meaning this, modest. Men and women should both dress modest. You'll never see me with my shirt off, ever. Since 25 years. I go to the beach, I have a t-shirt on. I go in the pool, I have a t-shirt on. Because what's naked on a woman is naked on a man. Women lust just like men lust. But yet, guys get all muscled up. It's the first thing they want to do. Sleeves off. See my tattoos, man? Yep. I'm cool. That's pride and that's wickedness. It's not of God. It's filthy because it's all, look at me. It says in Proverbs 22, he that loves pureness of heart, God is going to be your friend. 1 Timothy 1:5 says this, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. The last verse I have for you, it says, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as Jesus is pure. Jesus is pure and holy and righteous and merciful and kind, and he's good and he's mine. He's the only thing good I have in this world. He's the only thing that I have good in this world. There's nothing that can compare to him. There's nothing that can come close to him. He's good. And he loves me. And he takes pleasure in when he hears my prayers. And he is the one that is faithful to me. He's the one who will never leave me. He's the one that cares about me. He loves me with a love that can't, I mean, you could find a million people on earth that try to love you. Not one drop of it would be like Jesus loves you. He's pure and he's kind and he's good. And I want my heart to be pure towards him. And I want my mind to be pure towards him. And I want my conscience to be pure towards him. And there's only one way to get it. Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you, Lord. Sin is filthy. It's horrible. It's disgusting. It's vile. And until you see it as vile, you'll continue in it. And you'll still have that. As the music plays, please stand your feet, every head bowed, and every eye closed. It's time for the last altar call of 2018. The last altar call of 2015. I think we could end this year with a pure heart. Make room. Move over. There's plenty of room. Make room. Squeeze over, everyone. Plenty of room. Get close. We can end 2015. The Bible says this. Please listen to me. God says that if you'll confess your sins, if you'll confess your sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's get our hearts right with God tonight. Let's call out to him and tell him, Lord, I've cursed. Lord, I've had bad thoughts. Lord, I've even didn't have faith. Lord, I've been living in this filthy world, and this filthy world is getting into my heart, and I don't want it to get into my children's heart. Oh, God, protect my children. Protect my heart. Oh, Lord, I give you my heart. Wash it. Cleanse it in the blood of the Lamb of God. Come into my heart and fill me with the Holy Ghost from heaven, who is pure and holy. Help me to walk in the light. Help me to love. Help me to have a right mind. Help me to have a right conscience with you, God. Oh, God, I love you, Lord, because you first loved me. I didn't know what love was until I met you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for suffering and bleeding to wash away all my sins, that I can have a heart that is pure before you. And Lord, I just pray that if once I leave this place, my heart will be pure with you. I know it, but keep it pure. Help me to ask for forgiveness every time a bad thought enters my heart. And let me do as you said, is whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, let us think on these things, that we may not think on the other. Father, thank you for your son Jesus, and thank you for this church, and thank you for the word of God, our King James Bible, that you gave to us, that we know that it is pure, inspired, holy. It is the literal voice of the Almighty Creator. Let our hearts hear it. As Bob prayed, let us discern it. Let us learn it. Let us be one with it. And be one with us, we pray. Father, bless our families and our children. Put your hedge of protection about us as we go and about our children, because we know the evil one is out there. And I just pray, Lord God, strengthen our shield of faith, that the fiery darts of the devil could never hit us. We love you. We thank you for your kindness and your mercy in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.